Gracious Father, as we open your word now, I do recognize this morning that this topic that we're going to look at on prophecy can be challenging to many. Father, I pray that you would guard me from saying anything contrary to your word. Bring understanding where there's been confusion, healing where there's been misuse, and open our hearts to receive whatever gift you desire to give us. And may we, like Paul, earnestly desire these gifts from you. And so, Holy Spirit, come guide us in this truth now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're going to dive right in. A lot to look at as we look at the gift this morning, this revelatory gift of prophecy. What are prophetic words all about? I want to begin by just reading the first five verses of 1 Corinthians 14. It sets the stage well for us as we unpack this gift this morning. Here's what we heard just a moment ago. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. So Paul begins this, chapter 14, by pulling in two of the very important words from chapter 13, where he spoke that beautiful chapter that so many of us are familiar with on love. And he says, pursue love. Now, why does he say that? Well, he says pursue love because that church was not loving one another. They were so consumed with the gifts that they had. They were so consumed with building themselves up that they were not loving one another in the body. And so he says, pursue love. Yet as messy as that church was, and you've heard me say it before, as messy as that church was, I find it so interesting that Paul doesn't say in the midst of all this mess, stop the spiritual gifts. Stop prophesying. Stop speaking in tongues. Stop preaching. Stop all these gifts. He doesn't do that. Instead, you know what Paul says in the midst of all of this? He says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire them. I don't know if that's your heart's cry or not, but I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is calling us to, is to earnestly desire the gifts that he's given us. He calls us to pray for them. And this morning, we're going to look at, as I mentioned, the gift of prophecy. Now, I recognize that when I say that, and even tongues, as is mentioned in this passage, that we're going to unpack next Sunday, so please come back for that. I recognize that these are the two most controversial gifts. And there's a part of me that wants to run like crazy the other direction and not address them. But I can't do that. God's word is too powerful. And that we've got to even enter into these difficult things. But here's the reality. They're not controversial because God says they are. They're controversial because of us. You see, we've taken these good things from the Lord, and we've skewed them, and we've corrupted them. And I think that's why so many people in the church today want to run away often when things like this are being spoken of, prophecy or even in tongues. Friends, I believe God's word is so clear. And I believe that he'll lead us into a greater understanding of this gift today as we unpack it. Because here's what I know the Lord Jesus Christ wants for his church. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to come alive. That's why I believe Paul says, earnestly desire these gifts, even that you may prophesy. So let's dive right in. To properly understand the gift of prophecy, what we need to begin with is understanding the distinction between prophecy in the Old Testament and prophecy in the New Testament, because there's a distinction there. So here's what I want to start off and say. In the Old Testament, now this is not going to be new to many of you, in the Old Testament prophets wrote and spoke the very words of God. When they wrote them down, they were divine authority. So if you were to disobey those words, we're actually disobeying the very word of God. The Old Testament prophets spoke about what was happening in the day in which they lived, but they also predicted things that were going to happen in the future. And they wrote them down, and that's what we find in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, in the New Testament, the people who wrote the very word of God that's comprised in the New Testament, they're not called prophets. Do you know what they're called? The apostles. See, they're not called prophets. There's a switch there. They're called apostles. And the apostles, in a sense, are the New Testament counterpart to the Old Testament prophets, okay? Now, by the time of the New Testament, the term prophet did not have the same sense of meaning that it did in the Old Testament when somebody wrote the very words of God. It had a different meaning. Now, I'm saying this, setting the Lord Jesus Christ aside, because he is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. But when we think about the term and the words prophecy in the New Testament, they were not people who spoke the divine word of God. And that's very important for us to understand, especially as Paul unpacks this for us this morning. You see, when somebody was given the gift of prophecy and they spoke prophetic words from the Lord, they weren't saying, "Thus saith the Lord," like you found in the Old Testament. They weren't saying, "Thus saith the Lord." What they were sharing was this. They were telling something that God spontaneously brought to mind to be shared with someone else. Okay? The words that a prophet in the New Testament received were spontaneous words from the Lord that were meant to be shared with other people. Now, we have to understand that this type of revelation is not on the same par as Scripture. Okay? We've got to make that clear. That when you hear prophetic words today, when prophetic words were spoken in the book of Acts and in the New Testament, they were not from different people spoken as on the same par as Scripture itself. Now, we understand this term, revelation, because that can trip a lot of people up, right? The term revelation that Paul uses. He says it twice in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 and 30. He writes, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent." Now, I think that word revelation trips up a lot of people today because we think of that on the same par as scriptural revelation, but it's not. And I think for some who would be in the cessationist view or mindset, and we've talked about that a few weeks ago, those who hold a cessationist view say that the revelatory gifts that are here in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14 are no longer in existence in the church today. They often get tripped up on this word revelation. But here's what we have to understand, as I've already mentioned a minute ago. Revelation in this context does not mean the inspired word of God. It's not the inspired word of God. Nor does it mean what's being said is communicated on the same part of Scripture. When Paul speaks of revelation through a prophetic word, what he's saying is this, that that person has received illumination and guidance from the Lord to be shared with somebody else. Okay? It's illumination and guidance from the Lord to be shared with someone else. And so I want to just begin by saying we don't need to be scared when we speak of that word revelation because Paul uses it. And we can use that well, you know, as well in its proper context. So let me just clarify this before we go on to what this purpose of prophetic gift is. When someone receives the gift of prophecy, they're not speaking with divine authority. What they're doing is this. They're simply reporting something that God has spontaneously given to them through a vision, through a dream, or through a stirring in their spirit that the Lord has given to be shared with somebody else. Okay? So that kind of sets it up to understand what does this revelation, this prophetic revelation really look like, okay? Now, what's the purpose of it? Why in the world would Paul say, earnestly desire it as many times as he does? There's a purpose behind it, and I want you to hear this clearly. We see it in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Paul writes, "On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation." Did you hear that? When somebody's given a prophetic word, it's to be shared with other people for these reasons, for their encouragement, for their upbuilding, and their consolation. Now listen, This does not mean that we cannot be encouraged and built up by Scripture. We absolutely are. We're first and foremost built up by Scripture. But the Lord in His grace has also given us this gift that we would encourage one another in the body even today. Now, I want you to think about this. For those who would say, I don't believe that God speaks outside of His Word, I honestly don't think that's true, because we've been given this gift of prophecy where we're encouraging and building up one another and consoling one another at various times. When I think about this gift, friends, I think about it in the context of who our Heavenly Father is. Now, I want you to think about this. He's a Father who is gracious and merciful. He's a Father who knows exactly where we are at all times. He's a Father who knows every situation that you and I go through every moment of the day. Now, why would He not at times speak words of encouragement and comfort to us as we go through difficult times in life? Why would He not do that, right? I want to give you a couple of examples of what prophetic words look like in the church, okay? Maybe this will help bring some clarity to what I'm saying. A prophetic word may be used to encourage someone who's going through a difficult season in life. And a friend comes to them and shares with them a vision or a picture that the Lord has given to bring encouragement or hope for them to continue on in their journey, right? We see it in the book of Acts. We're not going to turn there, but numerous times the Apostle Paul was in very difficult situations. At one time, he was in Corinth and wanted to, in a sense, give up. But the Lord came to him in a dream and gave him a prophetic vision, and he was able to stay the course in his ministry. We see that so clearly in so many other places in the book of Acts. But I want to read an example, an illustration of a prophetic word given in a worship service at a church that I'm familiar with. And I think this will help bring some clarity to what does this gift of prophecy really look like, and how do we use it well today, okay? Here's the scenario. Let me set it up. There was a gentleman in this church, and he came to the pastor on one particular Sunday, and he said, I have a strong sense that that there's going to be a woman in our church today, and here's what I think the Lord wants to tell her. Here's the word that he received from the Lord. He said, the Lord impressed on my heart this morning that there's a woman present who visited her doctor about 10 days ago. The prognosis given was not encouraging. The initials SJ have some connection to this doctor. He said, I'd like to pray for you today. You also have a young son who suffers from asthma. I would like to pray for him also if you'll come forward at the end of the service. So that's what he came and shared to the congregation on that particular morning. Here's what happened. A woman was present that day who instantly identified with the content of that word, but it was surprising that she happened to be there at the 9 o'clock service. This church had two services, one at 9 and one at 11. In the first place, because an extended and extremely painful illness she had kept her from going to church for several months, so she hadn't been there. And when she had been able to attend in the past, she always came to the 11 o'clock service. In fact, she had never attended the earlier service before. But that morning, she told her husband right after she woke up, she told her husband that she simply had to go to church no matter how hard her pain was. So already the Lord was beginning to work in her heart before she left to go to church. That morning, she attended the 9 a.m. gathering. When she heard the word, she immediately made an effort to come forward. She struggled with her steps and barely made it to the front. She informed the man who had delivered the word that she had been the doctor 10 days earlier. More than that, although she did not immediately make the connection of the initials SJ, she looked into her purse and found the prescription of the bottle, and those were the initials of her doctor. And yes, she happened to have a young son who was suffering badly from asthma. Following the prayer for healing, and that for her son, she struggled to make her way back to her seat. After the service, she made her way to the nursery to pick up her other children, and she noticed that the pain began to diminish significantly. By the time that she reached her car in the parking lot, she was entirely pain-free and remained so to this day. And yes, her young son was also healed from his asthma. Now, friends, if the Lord doesn't speak, I don't know what that was. So if you want to think about the Lord's kindness to His people, I want you to hear this morning, I believe this gift of prophetic words is still alive in the church today. And I believe it's a gift, as Paul says, that he longs that we earnestly desire. Because, friends, I think we live in a body, we're a body today who's in desperate need of encouragement. I mean, who doesn't need encouragement here, right? And the Lord in his grace, he doesn't always speak that way, obviously. But there are times that he does, and we do not need to be afraid when he does, right? So, who is this gift given to? If this gift is for the church today, who's it given to? Well, I love the prophet Joel, before Christ came, spoke these incredible words. Many of you will know him. This is Joel chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. He wrote, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants, to those in those days I will pour out my spirit." And we see this prophecy coming true at Pentecost. That's the exact same that began to happen at Pentecost, and we see it happening after as well. So anyone, the basic answer is, who can prophesy? Anybody. Again, let me read to you what Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. "Now I want all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy." Then in verse 1, he said, "Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." And at the end of chapter 14, he says it again, "So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues." It's almost as if Paul could not be more clear. He says it at the very beginning, at the very end, and even in the middle. Earnestly desire this gift. All can do it, but not all will be given the gift. It's the Holy Spirit who gives the gifts to his people, right? But we can pray for them, and we can earnestly desire them, as Paul said, and we can say, "Lord, bring me this gift. If you want me to have this gift, bring it to me." Now, I'll tell you, I've never spoken words of prophecy over someone. I've been the beneficiary of prophetic words, and it's been tremendously encouraging. So I would tell you at this moment, at least, I don't have the gift of prophecy, but I pray for it. I pray, as Paul says, earnestly desire it. Maybe one day he will give it to me. Maybe one day he won't. But here's the thing. It's okay, because God never withholds something that he wants us to have. And so if he wants you to have this gift, he'll bring it to you. But friends, hear this clearly. Don't think that you're a second-class citizen if you don't have it. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God, right? The Holy Spirit chooses to bestow whatever gifts he wants on his people. But friends, I think he calls us to earnestly desire it because he knows how much the body needs to be encouraged and uplifted, right? And I think the more that we begin to speak prophetic words from the Lord, I think the more we're going to be able to build up the body around us. Now, I want to say this. There's a lot of misuse that's happened with this gift over the years. You've probably experienced some of it. I certainly have. But friends, let me tell you this. Just because there's misuse does not mean that we throw the gift away. A couple of weeks ago, I gave the example of people every Sunday misuse the gift of preaching. They do it for personal gain, or they skew the Word of God in a way that is not glorifying to the Lord. Now, because people do that, does that mean that the gift of preaching should be done away with? No. The same thing with the gift of prophecy. Just because people have misused it in the past does not mean that we should be afraid of it today in the church or that we should throw it out. Let me give you some abuses that I have seen, that you may have seen as well, that we do need to be aware of. Some people have used the gift of prophecy for guidance in their lives instead of going to Scripture itself. You know, some people are always looking for a vision. God, speak to this, speak to this. And they fail to go to the ultimate place where the Lord speaks through his Word. Friends, that's a misuse of the gift. Scripture is our ultimate guide. Scripture is our ultimate authority. What I would say, if somebody has the gift of prophecy, you ought to be pouring yourself into Scripture all the more, that you may be able to discern and test what is good and right. In In one of the books I read in preparing for this sermon, I came across a statement that a couple wrote about the dangers of this gift of prophecy, and I think they summed it up so well, so I want to read an excerpt from this chapter. Here's what they wrote. Now listen carefully to this. We should be careful of personal directive prophecy, especially outside the ministry of mature and submitted men and women of God. Unrestrained personal prophecy did much to undermine the movement of the Holy Spirit, which began at the turn of the century. Christians are certainly given words for one another in the Lord, as such words can be most refreshing and helpful, but there must be a witness of the Spirit on the part of the person receiving the words, and extreme caution should be used in receiving any alleged directive or predictive prophecy. They go on and they say this: never undertake any project simply because you were told by some person that you should do it. If somebody comes and says, I have a word from the Lord, and they told me to tell you that you must go do this, be very leery of that, okay? That's what they're saying, and I think that's wise. And I think people have not been in the past, and people who've spoken a prophetic word have missed it and been incorrect in their words when they say, God told me to tell you, you should go do this, right? They go on and they say this: never undertake any project simply because you were told by a presumed prophetic utterance or interpretation of tongues or by some presumed word of wisdom or knowledge. Never do something just because a friend of yours comes to you and says, the Lord told me to tell you this. If the Lord has instructions for you, he will give you a witness in your heart, in which case the words coming from a friend will be confirmation to what God has already been showing you. Your guidance always must agree with Scripture. Does that make sense? Is that clear? Because I think that will help us in misinterpreting things that we think we're hearing from the Lord. And it will help us walk with deep humility when we receive a word from the Lord for somebody else. And the person receiving that word would receive it also with deep humility as well. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 these words: do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. We need to be wise, friends. We need to test any word that someone comes to give us that they say is from the Lord. Test it. Sometimes you might receive a word from the Lord and it just doesn't make sense in that moment. A friend of mine says this, Robert, he goes, what I typically do is I shelve it. If I don't understand or it doesn't make sense, I kind of put it on a shelf. And he said, there have been times when I've done that, and 10 years later, the Lord has brought that right back up and confirmed that prophetic word. Other times, he said, I've shelved things, and nothing's ever happened. And he goes, I just let it go. We have to be discerning, right, when we receive a word, a prophetic word from somebody else. Is this clear? Is this clear? This is hard stuff. But I want it to be clear for us to begin to say, Lord, help us see how to use these gifts well in your church today. A lot of time, this gift of prophecy is given just on an individual basis, right? I remember, and I've got to watch our time. I remember 2 years ago, Kimberly and I were at a couple's home, and we were praying for something in particular. And it was a pretty weighty thing that we had heard from someone that we love, and our hearts were very heavy. That very moment as we were praying, a text went off on my phone. I didn't look at it because we were praying. I was like, okay, don't look at your phone when you're praying. Don't do that. After we left their house, I got in the car and I looked at it, and I began to weep. This is someone who had never texted me before, someone that I didn't know that well here at St. Andrew's, but someone that said, Robert, you all are going through a very difficult time right now. I don't know what's going on, but I want you to know the Lord is there. And the words that he wrote brought tears to my eyes and to Kimberly. We were so encouraged. And friends, let me tell you what, that gave us the strength to go through some really difficult stuff with this particular person. God encourages. I want you to see that God speaks to his people today. Now, let me give you a picture of what I think this can look like in the worship service, okay? Here's what I think it can look like when we worship together. What I would encourage you to do, if the Lord gives you a prophetic word, before the service, write it down, give it to me, Dustin, or Ryan, so that we can look at it. Because, friends, I want you to know it's important to test the words, right? I don't want to just say something if I haven't discerned, Lord, is this from you? But I'd encourage you, write it down on a card, give it to us, let us pray through it, and at the end of the service, if we sense the Lord calling us to share it with somebody, we'll do it at the end of the service. Or if the Lord puts something on your heart in the middle of the service, write it down on one of the prayer cards, give it to us during the announcements, and we'll pray through it and share it at the end of the service. We've not done that. We've done it maybe a couple of times. We don't need to be scared of it. But what I want to do is open up this place to be a place where we truly are hearing these words from the Lord and are faithful to the gift that he's given to many in this body, that we as the body of Christ would be built up for his kingdom glory. So let me close with this. Paul says, earnestly desire the gift of prophecy. Friends, don't be scared of it. Be wise, be discerning. We always ought to be. But I think it's a gift to be received with joy should the Lord Jesus Christ give you this gift through his Spirit. And my prayer for us at St. Andrew's is that we would live more fully into the gifts that he's given us, that we would be a people built up, that people, again, it's not just for us, but as we're built up, and friends, as unbelievers are with us in our midst, they begin to hear these words, they begin to see how powerful our God is. And the Lord does so much incredible restorative and redemptive work among us. So my encouragement to us this morning would be to come, pray, seek, pour out your heart to the Lord. If this is difficult stuff and you're like, Robert, I'm just not there. Friends, that's okay. It's taken me years and years and years to get to this place. But I got to tell you, it's glorious. And so just pray. No pressure. If you come at the end of the day and you're like, I just don't buy into this gift of prophecy, friends, that's okay. But be open to what the Lord wants to show you by his grace. So, Father, we commit all of this to you for your glory, that this, your church, your bride, may be built up as a radiant bride for you. And that through us, Father, you would draw many people into your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.